on the banks of the Grand River, high above the Alora Gorge. This is the Buzzer Podcast. Indie music, new releases, industry insiders, out-of-the-box conversations with guests from the true north, from the west coast to the east coast to across the pond, and from down under. And now, here is Shay.
Hey, Shay here, On Air Indie. Welcome and enjoy episode 31, first music history boil down for March 23rd. The Who's Pete Townshend in 2011 told Uncut magazine that he regretted ever forming the band. When asked what he would have done differently, he said, "I would never have joined a band. Even though I'm quite a good gang member and a good trooper on the road, I am bad at creative collaboration." Today, Mongrel Dogs join us. The Mongrel Dogs are an original rock band from London, UK, formed in 2015 and comprising members from all around the globe. The band explores several rock subgenres: blues, hard rock, punk, psychedelic, and classic rock, without being defined by one in particular. Their songwriting reflects the lifestyle they lead as young artists living in the big city, nightlife, relationships, and personal experiences. Today, Alvaro Alonso, who does guitars for the band, and Louis Vetch, the drummer, join us. Today we have rock band Mongrel Dogs from London, UK, and today we have members of the band Alvaro and Jonathan. Welcome, guys. How are you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, Shay. How are you doing?
Oh, good. Real snowy out here in Canada. But other than that, I'm one of these people that should have been born in Brazil. I guess Alvaro is from Brazil.
I'm from Mexico, but Gustavo,
oh, you're from Mexico.
Gustavo is the one from Brazil. He's the one that got all the sun with him.
We have a family member from Mexico. It's a beautiful country.
Yeah. I miss it every day.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I see pictures. Anyways, so thank you for coming on the podcast. It's really great. Love your sound. Genre-defying. You can't pin what you're doing. I've been watching you guys on Facebook. You happen to do a cool cover on The Doors, which is one of my favorite bands. I loved it. You did really well.
Oh, thank you very much. Glad to hear you liked it.
Yeah, no, I love it. Actually, I was blown away. You do Blondie, Nirvana, and you're good at all of them. So I was really impressed. But we're here to talk about your original music. So what started you in the music industry? Like, what made you want to be a musician?
I'll let you go first, Al. Why don't you answer that one?
Thank you, JP. Well, thank you, Shay, for listening to our covers. We're putting a lot of effort trying to entertain people for now that we cannot play any live gigs at the moment, and that's our challenge. So I'm really happy that you're liking them.
Thank you.
And well, I don't know, I've always been quite of like obsessed with music since I can remember. Like, music's always something that's been around me, and I think when I started learning to play guitar, it just became a way for me to be able to express myself. And I just really liked it and decided I want to be able to express myself to other people on stage and just make some noise.
When did you pick up the guitar?
I think I was around 14 years old.
That's a good age.
Yeah.
Would you consider someone in terms of the best, if you could say, Eddie Van Halen, Jimi Hendrix?
Eddie Van Halen definitely is probably one of the best guitarists that ever existed. His technique was just amazing. But I am more influenced, I would say, probably from the school of like Jimi Hendrix or even John Frusciante. To me, they speak a little bit more in their, like, the way they play guitar talks to me a bit more. Jack White is also a massive influence for me.
And how are they different?
Well, I think that, at least in my opinion, I feel like they were more focused on expressing themselves without having to be technically perfect. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I really like, because to me, rock and roll shouldn't be perfect 100%. It should be sloppy sometimes. And I think that John Frusciante and Jimi Hendrix are very good at it. Like, they prefer feeling and expression over technicality. And to me, John Frusciante can say everything he has to say with a couple of notes without having to be like the hardest solo to play. And that's something that has always, like, it always grabbed me.
That's a really cool explanation. I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like that. I actually just had an artist on that show. He airs tomorrow night, and he has classical influences in his music versus the legacy guitarist. So it's pretty cool to hear that. And what about you, Jonathan?
So for me, I started probably about the same age as Al, to be fair. I think I started at maybe, 13 or 14, like first year of junior high school. And it was the guitar. I actually wanted to play sax, first of all, but they already had a sax player in the school band, so guitar it was in the end. And I guess I always sung as well, just like growing up in the car with Dad and that sort of thing. And it just kind of turned into something that I decided one day I wanted to do properly, you know, rather than just a little hobby, I guess. And so here I am in London a few years later, making a go of it, pretty much.
Yeah. And what about you in terms of the influence on your guitar?
I think the guitar, like, I was never the best guitarist at school. I went to school with some very talented kids, so I learned pretty early on that I wasn't going to be this phenomenal lead guitarist. So I started to focus more on like the singer-songwriter kind of angle, I guess. I mean, for me, one of my heroes would be Bernard Fanning from Powderfinger. He's an Australian artist, Australian singer, and he's just very talented in that sense. Like, I love his melodies, and he's always very comfortable playing and singing when he does. And then he kind of skirts into the boundaries of being a front man as well, because he just puts the guitar down and just jumps around and has a good old time. So I think that's kind of where I took a lot of influence early on.
Well, I definitely see why you would focus on your vocals. Your vocals are very strong, enjoyable to hear.
Thank you.
So what was your background growing up? Were you from a musical background? Like, who introduced it to you, or did you just suddenly pick up an interest in music?
I grew up in a musical house in terms of there was always music playing, but I don't think anyone in my family was ever really properly classically trained in any way. Mum played the flute a bit growing up, but that was sort of it. But I always had a pretty good ear. I played a little bit of piano when I was much younger as well, and never really, you know, followed the notation. I always learned all the songs by ear, and I used to frustrate the hell out of all my teachers. But I just kind of, when I got to about 13, 14, I picked up the guitar and started doing lessons. I just kind of lent into that a little bit, I guess, and still learned a lot of stuff from ear. And it's only in more recent times that I've gotten much more clued in with the theory and that sort of thing. But it was always just about the enjoyment of it for me. And so long as I was enjoying it, I wanted to do more of it, and I just did. Became a core part of my life and has continued to be.
Right. You, Alvaro?
Well, I think it's almost a very similar story to JP, actually. My family has always been into music. My dad, from a very early age, he was like almost forcing me to listen to the Beatles or Led Zeppelin, and like, since I remember, I've known like most of the songs. and they've always been very musical. I have an uncle that used to play guitar in a band as well, and I think when I started picking up the guitar, he was probably my first guitar hero when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. And then he was the one that was like giving me some tips at the beginning when I was starting. He was in a band as well. And then I guess that's when it kind of clicked on me, probably unconsciously, that I also wanted to be in a band and like play my own songs.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk about the band. One thing that I find really unique and cool about your band is you have an Aussie, you have somebody from Brazil, a Mexico, and Scotland.
It's almost like a joke about someone going into a bar.
Yeah. United Nations rock band. I know. How did that happen? Like, how did you guys meet and form?
Well, I'll let you tell the first part of the story, Al.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jenna. well, I think it has to do with the fact that we all came to London to play music in a way or another. And London is a very multicultural city. It's very similar, I would say, with some of like, well, it's a big city. It's one of the biggest cities in Europe. So you have people coming from all over. It doesn't really matter where they're from, and people, like, you end up playing music with a lot of different people from different backgrounds. It all started, and also probably thanks to the age of the internet that helps you connect with whoever you're looking forward to have a jam with. I started playing covers in a cover band with Goose. And then we decided we wanted to make a band of original songs. Years later, we met Louis, putting an ad also on the internet throughout the portal of his music school. And then at the same time, when we started looking for someone that could properly sing, we came across Jono, the same thing, like in an ad on the internet.
That's cool. A lot of bands have formed with adverts. A lot of bands. Joan Jett, yeah. The Black Roots, Kiss. A lot of them.
Yeah.
A lot of
Metallica,
them.
Metallica.
Yeah.
Motley Crue.
Yeah, there's a list of them. I don't have them all on my head, but I have seen that. And your songs are definitely reflective of the band's lifestyle and your youth, actually. The big city nightlife and your personal experiences and that. One of the tracks we're featuring that will be played upcoming is Le Chat. It's a funky tune. It's not so hard as your other tracks, so I listened to all your music. Talk about the song. I want to know about it.
So I guess what you're probably hearing with the soft influence probably me there, to be honest. Just because that was the first track that I properly wrote from the ground up with the band. We do have another song coming out that's kind of the AB single release to it, that's sort of counter to it, so very much back on track in terms of being a bit heavier and a bit louder and everything. But that song was, I definitely agree, it's a bit softer. It came from an old riff that I'd been playing around for years and years. And I kind of just took it around with the world with me, really, and couldn't quite find what I wanted to actually make the song about. And then I kind of got to London and had a bit of a rough time traveling and had a bad breakup and all those sorts of things. And I met my old flatmate. We became really good friends. And then I figured, you know, why write a song about this girl that I split up with when I could write a nice song for my flatmate and make it about that, you know, make it more about friendship and kind of leaning on each other and that sort of thing. And that's kind of how that song was born, I suppose. I took it to the band and it turned into something more. So, yeah.
Well, the name is The Cat in English.
Yes.
Yeah. So was her name Catherine?
No. Her name's Manon.
That's a good guess, though.
But yeah, no, that's pretty good, actually. Good guess. But no, her name's Manon, but she's just very feline, I would say, as a person. She's just some people embody certain animals and certain characteristics, and I would just say that she's very feline. And so that became her nickname, basically. I just called her Cat. And she's French as well, so hence the title being in French.
That's pretty cool. Though I would have thought it was after a cat. That's pretty cool. I have a daughter that's named Cat. Actually, two. A stepdaughter also named Cat. So they're both brothers. Yeah, that's why I went to that. So that's the backstory. You guys have had a lot of coverage on it. Can you talk about some of the reviews that you've had on the slot?
Well, I think people were happy to listen to something that sounds a bit more evolved, I would say. It definitely shows how the band can now start making more, start being more multifaceted in a way, rather than just playing some old, well, not old, but like some old school rock and roll, I guess. Mm-hmm. We've received really good reviews from the song, thankfully. We're really happy with that. It's our most successful release to date as well in terms of streams and views. We've all gotten like really nice comments, and like we definitely can't wait to play it live.
We're going to listen to The Shout up next.
We'll be right back.
Well, I really enjoy the song. It's really, and it's different to other tracks. So I really like it. I have read all the reviews that have been out there.
Thank you.
One thing that's consistent is you've been given the, I guess, the moniker as a very energetic onstage presence, that your live gigs are good.
We do want people to remember when they come to see us. Definitely. We really are from the point of view that, like, you need to put on a show. If people are paying a ticket to go see us, you need to make it memorable. You need to make it worth it for them to come and also to come back and also have a good time.
Well, you definitely have notoriety in the London rock circuit.
Thank you.
Yeah, I guess we figure, like, if you don't dance and move around, how can you expect the audience to, you know? If you're not having fun up there, no one else is going to have any fun, really. You kind of set the tone, don't you?
Yeah. You've also played at pretty popular venues, Borderline Camden, 93 Feet East, The Monarch, The Big Red. Which one? It's the one you like to play at the most? Or do you have any stories from one of those venues?
Well, there is this one place called the Dublin Castle in Camden, which is not the most notorious place to play at, but we've never left that place sober. So we've always had a good time in that place. And it's got some rock and roll history as well. That's where Amy Winehouse used to do her gigs. Arctic Monkeys played there a couple of times. It's a really cool place to play. We've played also, like, Borderline is one of the biggest venues we played so far, and that was a really, really fun gig. But to me, probably my favorite one was the gig when we released our previous singles, which was our last gig. That was definitely one of my favorite ones. I had a really good time.
And that was at Borderline?
That was in a place called The Gallery.
The Gallery.
In North London, which was, it was really, really cool to play there.
Why so?
Well, it was just a very festive environment. We were just releasing some singles. And people were really up for it. I think it was like the best kind of mood to play. And also because it was the last gig, it's probably the one that makes it like more like nostalgic in a way.
Yeah, not a whole lot of gigging going on right now.
Not at all. Yeah, unfortunately.
No, definitely not.
So Camden actually is well known for quite an active music scene.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's got a lot of history. It was the birthplace of punk rock in the 70s and also a lot of indie rock going on in the 2000s. It's a really cool place. If you ever come to London, we'll take you for a drink in Camden.
Oh, I definitely. Why do you think I'm asking about all these things? I always have a pint. But I like to know, you know, because it's good to hear, because one thing I hate, I don't like to travel and do the tourist thing. I don't. I like to go where the locals hang out, and I like to know. So that's the way to travel. When I do travel, I'm not really a traveler, so don't like I won't show up at your front door, Alvaro. What about your influences? Like, your sound is really heavy. I wouldn't say it's heavily influenced, but I get the 70s feel. It has a 70s sound, but it's completely unique. And you guys go, there's no, you can't really put you in any genre, even though you are rock. Which I would just say you're rock, but you have a lot of flexibility in your sound and being able to put great music out regardless. You must have 70s influences.
I think we all worship that era for sure. But I think we're all quite disparate in the bands that we like, and then we have overlaps as well. So, like, I mean, for me, one of my idols is like INXS and Michael Hutchins and that sort of thing. So I like to try and incorporate that where I can. And then I know Al, like, I'll let you speak for yourself, mate, but for sure, big fan of Queens of the Stone Age and that sort of thing. I think that kind of ripples on through at times. And, you know, Gustavo's mad about the Foo Fighters. Lewis listens to absolutely everything. I've never met someone with such an eclectic taste in music. So I think because we're quite well listened and broadly listened as well, it kind of, like, I think we can't help but be a bit eclectic in the music that we make, you know, it just kind of naturally happens.
Yeah. It's funny how you say that, because I think that we all have our different influences, but we can all agree that 70s rock has definitely made an impact on us, as well as all the other bands, like, for example, Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, all those bands from that time. Cream.
Oh, wow. I love that you said Cream.
For example, like, yeah.
For sure.
Lewis is a very big Ginger Baker fan as a drummer. So we have very diverse, I would say, modern influences, but we all agree on a lot of 70s bands. And I think that's what makes the band so diverse and so special, but at the same time so grounded, is that we have a lot of variety in our influences, but we have a lot of similarities as well, I think.
Well, I think that's that probably is the reason that your music is considered, and actually it's been in a lot of your roots, genre defying, because of all these different influences. But I can't say any band that's in rock hasn't had any of those legacy bands affect them, but not often do you see all those influences come into a band's music, and you definitely have been successful doing that. Do you know that the reason I launched the podcast on January 12th? Do you know the reason?
No, I can't say I do. Do you know how?
The reason I did is there was a UK band that produced and recorded a EP, their first EP. It was paid for by the lead and the manager, yet it was released in the US under label. And it was released in January 12, 1969, by none other than Led Zeppelin. that was the day the show launched. I had to do it. Yeah. You know, anybody that follows music has to do something to honor the gods, right?
Absolutely.
What about the next track that we're going to hear? Is a bit heavier, very great. I love the drums, guitar, and vocals. Pursuits. It's a strong song overall. What's that song about?
Well, that song, I think it's kind of about a breakup.
Another one? Are you guys lover boys? Okay. Who's breakup this time?
It's a sad boy song. No, it's not a sad song, but I think it's almost mine. Well, I guess it's just about the feeling when something ends, and it's about the frustration you get when something you're trying to keep kind of falls down, and combined with a couple of drinks, you know, nights out. I guess it's about trying to cope with the things that you cannot change. I guess that's how I would nicely put it.
Avoidance.
And it involves a lot of
avoidance. Avoidance
parting.
Behaviors, yes.
Avoidance.
Escapism, shall we say.
Parting. Avoidance. Avoidance.
Is that why you chose to make the track heavy?
I guess so, yeah. It's a bit of an angry track. And I think it's also a bit kind of conscious of itself. And I guess it's a bit of like just overall frustration, I guess.
Wow. I like the track. Has it been getting strong reviews? I would assume it would.
Yeah, well, it's one of our favorite songs to play live. And it definitely got some attention once it came out. People were liking it. So, yeah, it's one of my favorites.
We're going to listen to it now. So up now, Pursuit. So that song came out in November 2019. And as I said before, Le Chat came out just recently, last November. Why was there a gap in making music? Were you band going through some changes, or were you just writing?
I think we're going through a period of just sort of heavy writing, to be honest, and we're kind of still in that at the moment. We've got a load of songs, if not finished, very close to being finished, and then a whole nother set in the works. So I mean, lockdown's been amazing for that, really. That's one thing I'll say that's been really good, is that we've been able to focus on writing and just kind of building up the social content and that sort of thing, as you would have seen with the covers, in a way that I don't know that we would have otherwise, you know, like when the world's normal and you're gigging all the time, you don't always have time for these sorts of things. So it's been nice that we've created this foundation while we can. But yeah, it was
definitely. Yeah. And also, as soon as we released the previous singles is when lockdown started happening around the world. And we had actually planned to try to start playing outside London just to get like a bigger kind of like following around the UK. And then COVID hit and we had to stay at home. And like we used that time to write songs and finish Le Chat and the single that is coming after. But definitely that made an impact because we could not go back to the studio until mid 2020. So even if we had these songs already written probably before the pandemic hit, we couldn't really hit the studio until mid last year.
Yeah, it took the wind out, didn't it, a bit?
You record this at the studio, the Secret Warehouse, the sound?
Yeah. Shout out to Mooka.
He's good value.
Yeah, Mooka. he's one of my favorites, man. I love him.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he's great. And he has such a passion for music.
He does.
Anyone that meets him can say he's a very passionate.
Yeah, very talented. What's your creative process like? Is there one of the band members, like Jonathan, do you write most of them, or Overo, or is it a collaboration between the band? Like, how do this songs come about?
So I think there's been a bit of a sort of change and evolution in the way that we've done things. Like for Le Chat, I kind of had a lot of the core of that, and then we worked on it collaboratively as a band. And then, you know, for some of the other songs, like the next release that we've got coming out, that was, I think, probably a bit more collaborative. And then the newer songs that we're working on now, this next batch, it's been, you know, someone will bring a riff and we'll build on that, or, you know, someone will have a lyric or whatever, you know, it's kind of been that sort of thing. I think it's nice because we're getting much better, I think, at just writing all together.
Yeah, definitely.
And so I think we're going to end up with a much more cohesive sound coming out of that as well, which can only be a good thing.
Yeah, I think we are in a constant pursuit of finding our own sound, as trying to evolve it. And sometimes it, like, every song has a very different process. Sometimes Jono writes a guitar riff and I absolutely destroy it and turn it into something different that becomes a song. Sometimes we just jam in the studio and suddenly we have a couple of riffs that we use in different songs. So the writing process is very different. Like, we just, one person brings a little seed and then between everyone just turns it into what we think is a song. And I find that process really interesting, and I really love it, how it never ends up how it arrived to the studio, if you can say that.
Yeah, very true.
That's interesting. So what do you feel is the industry outlook for the music business?
Oof.
Do you mean for us, or do you mean for the industry as a whole? General.
Well, let's start with you and then the industry as a whole, because you guys seem to be, you did react positively to COVID by creating and keeping busy. So what do you feel the band's outlook, or where do you see it going from here?
Well, I mean, I think we've got a bunch of ideas in the works for more online content while we can't be doing, you know, proper live shows and that sort of thing. I think as lockdown eases up a little bit for us in the UK, the next thing will be probably little acoustic shows and that sort of thing before we're able to play proper big squishy, sweaty live venues.
Amazing.
So I think that's kind of where our focus is going to be initially. What do you think, Al?
Jonah's definitely right. Like, right now we're trying to keep people entertained We are playing our covers, and at the same time, we're writing a bunch of songs to have ready by the time we're allowed to go into the studio. And then afterwards, just try to get as many gigs as possible, get a word around that we've got some new music, go into the studio, record, and then just try to play all over the UK as soon as we can. I think that's the main plan.
Left off, so to speak.
So you're going to go back where you were before and start to get your sound out throughout the UK?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. But it will be probably stronger than we would have been before, simply for the fact that we've grown our following online and gotten a lot more exposure in that way. And then also I think doing these covers has actually made us much better musicians. It's been, speaking for myself, I feel like I've improved loads from doing the covers, and I'm much more comfortable with what I can and can't do from doing the covers. So that's been really nice as well. It's just kind of, I think, shown us the boundaries of what we can do and what we can push and that sort of thing as well. So it's, we're going to be coming out of this stronger musicians, bringing better content, better songs, all that sort of stuff to an audience. So in a way, I'm almost kind of glad that this has happened. It's probably gone a bit longer than I would have liked, but I think some good things have come out of the lockdown as well.
Well, it's nice to hear that. Nice to hear that. But always, every challenge has its diamond.
Yeah. Definitely.
Silver linings, eh?
Yeah. Well, that's too simple. But yeah. I'm only joking. So in terms of the industry, okay, I'll give you a question. Do you feel that a lot of musicians or artists, bands, may decide not to pursue a career in music because of the pandemic and the issues?
I think that's very possible. I think that's really possible. I think quite a few bands that would have otherwise continued might have fallen by the wayside, and we'll see on the other side of lockdown that they're just no longer even a band and no one's told anyone yet. I know a couple of my friends who wanted to get into the music industry from a business perspective have actually looked the other way now and started looking for other industries to work in because they've seen how fragile it is as an industry. Something like a pandemic can bring it to its knees. You know, is that the safest route for a person to be pursuing? So I think you're absolutely right. Sorry to be a bit pessimistic, but I think that is the case for some, at least.
Yeah, but on a positive, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say what I think will happen, though, is that, you know, the talent will float to the top. Basically, so if you quit while the going gets tough, then obviously it's not meant to be. But people that put their head down and really push through, I think, will be rewarded eventually. I hope so.
Yeah, definitely. It's all about working hard and having fun in the process, I think.
I feel that a lot of bands, such as yourself, have used this positively, like you guys have, writing better music. Getting their skills up, and there could very well be an incredible explosion of music.
Oh, fingers crossed for a renaissance. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would definitely be. Well, I know I'm going to be down for going to a lot of live gigs when it opens up. Yeah, it's been too long. Too long.
That's so great to hear for us as well, because I think we sit in our little bubble sometimes and we get, you know, locked in our studio just writing music and stuff, and we sit there going, does anyone ever actually want to hear this? And we forget that, you know, the audience is missing live shows just as much as we're missing playing them.
Oh, yeah. So, I'm not one to go to the movies, stuff. Since I was younger, I saved up my money to go to a rock concert, to go to a festival. To me, that's fun. Sitting in a movie theater and staring full front for whatever the amount of time, it's not fun to me. I like being in a gig get a crowd and make friends instantly with the people with you, just simply because you love the same band. And nothing beats live gigs. Nothing.
Nothing compares to being sweaty next to so many other people listening to the same song that means so much to you.
Yeah. So you talked about, you've written a lot, and you sort of mentioned about a new release coming out. Do you know the date that it might come out, or the roundabout date?
The date right now is a bit of a mystery for the audience and for us as well.
It's always good to leave the show with a bit of mystery.
I think people can expect some music in the next couple of months, I would say, depending how able and how open the country is to for us to start like making music videos and like all that. Because since we have a new release, we want to make it the best way possible. We want to have a music video for it. We want to like be playing for it. And hopefully also make it a little bit closer to when people can go to live gigs again, just to keep people interested. But definitely we'll have some new music coming soon in the next couple of months. So we're really excited for that one.
I look forward to hearing it.
You just can't tell anyone.
Definitely. We can send it to you. we just can't.
Definitely send it to me. You want to consider me being my friend? You better send me your releases. I love the band. Definitely. No, I'd love to hear it. So what social media channel are you more active in? Or would you prefer to have your fans go to a website or Twitter? Like, where's the best place to get you active? I see your Facebook's very active.
Thank you. I think that depends what people want to see. If people want to see most of us like playing music and doing our covers right now, but also listen to our previous singles, they can go on our YouTube channel. That'll be very helpful. And if they want to see a bit of like everyday life, what we've been going behind the scenes and all the stuff, they can go on our Instagram, which is @mongrelducks.
Okay, great. Great. Instagram's becoming very popular, especially in the music industry.
Like, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's getting more of the go-to. Like even top stars, legacy stars, they're doing their first shout-out on Instagram. Like even Elton John, you know, it's becoming the go-to for the music industry, which is cool because it's visual. You can share videos. Like it's a pretty great platform.
Yeah. I think IGTV and Reels and stuff has definitely helped.
Yeah.
That it's given it a platform, video platform, to something that used to just be like static.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely, it's good. And it seems like a closer knit community than some of the other platforms too.
Yeah, we've met a lot of really nice people through Instagram, and we've always received very nice comments from people that listen to the covers of the week and all that. We always get a lot of love from our Instagram profile, which is really nice.
Oh, cool. Well, it's been really enjoyable having you two on the show. Thank you, Alvera and Jonathan of the Mongo Dolls.
Thank you, Tate.
Thank you for showing. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So, listeners out there, make sure you follow at the Mongo Dolls, which is their Instagram channel. It was a great episode, and cheers. Well, thank you all for tuning in. The Dead Freights out of Southampton, UK, are on the next episode. Gothic poetry spat over disco, Nirvana, putting the ABBA in Black Sabbath, and Jarvis fronts idols. That's the band's description of themselves. It's a great episode, so catch you at the pod. Next episode, On Air Indie, from my pad to yours, over the airwaves. Subscribe, please, at thebuzzerpod.com. Cheers.